Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Jawanza for Life. It is truly, truly an honor to have you with us again this evening. I'm in the studio with my wife, Aquia Sefnatera.
Hello, everyone.
And my special guest is someone who, if by now you're not familiar with him, you will be by the end of this show. Again, he's a regular on Jawanza for Life. He's our resident doctor, if you will. He's Brother Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. We're talking health, we're talking healing, we're talking preventive medicine, and, oh, my God, we have just been doing these shows monthly and just bringing this information to you, and I hope that you're taking advantage of it. To give you information on how you can get in contact with Brother Coy. Again, he's a holistic healer. He's owner of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Got started on this healing journey some 30-some years ago, okay, and has been healing people successfully. You don't have to live sick. You don't have to live with whatever the doctors tell you that you have. Many people out there have gone to doctors, and the doctors have said, you got this. But we know from even talking to Coy in our last interview that, or the one before that, that oftentimes many of the doctors' prescriptions, many of the doctors' diagnoses are false. And people are getting prescribed false or medications for these false diagnoses, and these medications have side effects. But we're going to get into all of that. I want to get to my guest again, Brother Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington. Welcome back to Jawanza for Life, sir.
Good to be back, and good to hear you, Royce, again, and let's get it on.
All right, my brother. All right, Brother Coy, we're going to be talking about preventative healing or preventative medicine and holistic healing or in health and healing. Now, just even the title, preventative medicine, may sound a little strange to some people because a lot of times when people think of medicine, it's because you've already gotten sick and you weren't able to, for whatever reason, prevent what you're taking the medicine for. So when we say the word preventative medicine, you know, some people may, that might seem strange to some people, but it's not, because there are ways to actually prevent whatever it is that you might think that, or whatever it is that the doctor's claiming that you have, or maybe you do have, there's a way to prevent it. And we're going to be talking about that this evening. Brother Coy, preventative medicine, we're talking about the latest, most recent things that have come out concerning preventative medicine. But when we use the word latest and most recent, that means knowledge is evolving. You know, we think about the latest trends in holistic medicine. Something new is always coming out. So even as we become more knowledgeable about our bodies, more knowledgeable about ways of treating it, you know, education just becomes so very, very important. Could you talk about that?
Yes. I guess we can start with a little background, a little review. We are still talking about the causes of the diseases and where what causes most of the problems we have with diseases. And we have to. I would like to start with something called hypergenesis. Hypergenesis. That's medically induced disease. Most diseases come from. Most deaths caused by disease come from really going to the doctor. You go to the doctor, and they start doing all these things to you and giving you exams and that whole process, the X-rays and CAT scans and all of that is it really weakens the body and creates a situation where disease can. You may not die. They may tell you have cancer, but you won't die of the cancer. You'll die of the treatment that they try to give you. The first thing you want to do is when you go to the doctor is ask him to give you something to show that what he's saying will really make a difference.
Okay.
So if you go to the doctor and say, I have an ache in the belly, they run all of these tests, and then at the end they tell you this is what you need to do. And because you trust the doctor and you believe in the doctor, You start taking the x-rays, you start taking the chemotherapy or whatever the recommendation is that they give you, you start entering into that thinking that, yes, this is going to make a difference and it's going to make me better. But in reality, and if you look at the facts, most of the time you go to the doctor with a condition. You don't die from that condition. You die from the treatment that they give you. So you, mm-hmm. you have to understand mm-hmm. that to kind of get an understanding of where we're going here. And that,
well, you know, Brother Coy, it's so interesting that with just this conversation because, you know, this is the year 2014. Now,
yes.
people, I mean, holistic medicine is much older than 5 years old. You know, people been healing. I mean, you've been healing for the last 30 years, you know,
absolutely.
And others as well have been out there healing. And so if you know about this, you know about the power of herbs and holistic medicine. I know about the power of herbs and holistic medicine. Other doctors and healers know about the power of herbs and holistic medicine. Yet people are still going through the same assembly line, you know, just
yeah.
get in line, you know, first person in front of you falls off the cliff, you just stay in line. The person behind
yeah.
him falls off the cliff, you just stay in line. And everybody just keeps being recycled back through this whole medical system where they go to the doctor, get prescribed medicine. The medicine has side effects. The side effects kill you, you know, and then the same
yeah.
cycle continues with that person's child or you know, relatives or whatever, and then they go to the funeral, and they go back to the doctor, and it's, you know, it's a never-ending cycle. Why do you think that with the poor track record that the medical establishment has as it comes, when it relates to healing people, that people just continue the cycle? Because it is truly mind-boggling, because when you share information with people, I mean, even myself, trying to share this information with people that I know are sick, okay? People that I know the doctor has diagnosed them with something. Or they might be taking high blood pressure medicine, or, you know, taking medicine, might have been, you know, might be on dialysis or whatever. They're clearly sick and still, you know, continue to go back through the same assembly line of the medical system. Why do you think that is?
Because that's the way we are conditioned. We have been conditioned to believe that if the doctors are there to heal us and they can't do, they tell you they take an oath that first do no harm, and it's reinforced by the society that we live in that, you know, go to the doctor and get yourself checked and all this, that, and other. It's just a propaganda tool that's used to keep us into this disease state of welfare, this disease state of mind, and until
mm-hmm.
we can get the information that we need to the people so that they can make valid decisions about what to do with their condition, we're going to
mm-hmm.
continue to do this. One reason
mm-hmm.
we can't get to the people, get the information to the people, is because we don't have enough shows like yours that enough people like me can come on and give information. And have them check it out. And that's
mm-hmm.
another thing we don't do. We don't check things out because the doctor says we got a condition. We generally go along with the doctor because he's the expert and, you know, what are you going to do? He's the doctor. So
mm-hmm.
we get into this thing about being complacent about our health and being in a diseased state, and we generally wind up dying with it. So we have to do a better job of getting the information out to people. We have to get more outlets to get information out to people. And then
yeah.
we have to educate the people on how to talk to their doctors. You know, did
mm-hmm.
the doctor say something? What is he basing it on? I mean, he say he took a test and he saw this and he saw that. What is, when he proposed a cure or a solution or a treatment, what's behind that? Is it really true? Is it really true that if you go through chemotherapy that your chances of surviving cancer is going to be better? And
mm-hmm.
and you have to approach him in a way that he doesn't get offended, but at the same time you should ask for a test or some kind of trial or what have they done to show that more people will survive if you go through the process that he suggested. And if he can't do that, you probably better pack up and go to another doctor or find some other way to treat your condition, because they're getting ready to experiment on you, and in the end, you're going to wind up dead.
You know, so you Brother Boy, one thing that they don't do is they won't give you a referral. Because I remember when I got hit by the car and I came and saw you, and I was the doctor was trying to share with me that if I did not have surgery on my knee, that I wouldn't walk right again. And so I asked him for some referrals of some of the patients who he had done the same operation on. And, of course, he was like, oh, well, that's, you know, patient-doctor privilege information. We can't give you that. But I can tell you how many people have had the surgery. But if that doesn't do me any good, you can tell me how many people have had it. But if I can't talk to them to see how they're doing or if they regret having had the surgery, then – you know, see, they're not going to give you these referrals. So if you go to somebody and let's say you go to a doctor and you ask for the doctor's recommending chemo and you say, well, can you give me a list of the patients who you prescribed the chemo to? He might not be able to do it because they might be all dead. You know what I mean? But, you know, they'd be very reluctant, I'm sure, to give you the referrals of people, names and numbers of people who've had it, because they know. You know, and that's the sad part about it, that many people know. And that hypergenesis, man, that's scary.
You're right about that.
That's a scary thing. I mean, just as,
And it should be scary, yes. That's medically induced disease. I mean, going to the doctor can actually be more harmful to you than the disease. And that's the realization we as a people have to come to. Is that we need to learn how to question, and they need to learn how to find out for ourselves what's true, and act on what we know to be true, and not on what someone speculates, or because a drug company has a lot of money and they can put a lot of money in a drug and get doctors to give it to you, doesn't mean that it's good for you to take. So money has involved in it. There's a lot of money involved in the medical system. There's a lot of as a result, you get a lot of trash in terms of medications that you should take, and most of the medications are toxic or radiation or full of something that is going to create another problem that's going to be worse than the one that you got.
You know, it's so sad. It's really sad, because when a person goes to the doctor, they might meet the nicest nurse. You know, the nurse might be the nicest person, you know, I mean, and, you know, when you're talking to the doctor, and he might be so comforting, you know, his words might soothe you, you know, all of this, but, and unbeknownst to them, you know, the patient, they're about to die, you know, and what to me is interesting is that more people in the healthcare field, doctors, knowing that, okay, my last five patients that I treated died of cancer, that maybe, just maybe, that they would think that these are educated people. These are people who aren't stupid. These are people who've done God knows how many years of college, God knows how many years of residency. They're very intelligent people, but you would think they would be intelligent enough to say, well, there's got to be another way, because my last five patients that I treated with chemo died. You know, it didn't prolong their life. As a matter of fact, they were dead within 6 months of me starting the chemo. So,
yeah.
You know, is it just money? I mean, at the root of it, I mean, I know we talked about that briefly, but, again, is it a case of people putting profit over the people, again, like we talked in the TPP show?
That's similar. It's the same kind of thing. That's, they want to dominate your brain and dominate your body and use you as a guinea pig so they can make more money. Now, when you go to the doctor, you're surrounded by all this equipment, and all this equipment is full of radiation and all kind of negative effects it has on the body, this equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one reason why you get the hypergenesis is radiation. You know, to get the X-rays, the CAT scans, the brain scans, and that is pushed by the medical industry, because they make these machines, these fancy machines, and they got to recoup their money. So for everyone that get into that machine, they get paid. So that's how they propagate this and have us thinking that what they're doing is going to make a difference in some way. But the radiation, the chemotherapy, the even a lot of the medications now, they are not. There's nothing in them to give you life. They all lead to death, and we get caught up in that. And once you start it, it's hard to stop because they tell you that you got to have so many sessions, and if you don't finish it, then you're going to be worse off or something. And you wind up going through all these sessions, and at the end of the session, you were in worse shape than you were when you went to the doctor in the first place. So you have to learn how to avoid those pitfalls by, you know, asking questions, being curious about what's going on with the doctors and what's happening to the, what kind of results are they getting from the treatments that they are using. And that's a good way to start curbing some of this and making a difference in terms of how you treat your own body. And that's where we have to go with this. But once you have a disease, and I think that's the next step we want to go to, is how do we get this disease, and where does it come from, and why are we in this condition that we're in? And we call that the HMB1. That's a high mobility group, box one, high mobility one group, or whatever you want to call it. But that is where these are switches to disease. We call them in the body. They are switches. You can call them your cells if you want to. But what happens? These cells get inundated with all of this bad stuff we talked about: the radiation, the medications, and the scans, and all of that kind of stuff. And it switches on these disease things, these disease cells, and we call that catazymes, catechymes, and they begin to leak into the immune system, in the blood system, and it shuts down the cell, and it creates the disease. That's how you get sick. So then once you got these catechymes, you recognize, once you get sick, you have to recognize that it's just a process that you're going through in terms of your body trying to fight off the disease. And if your immune system is not strong enough, which is your first line of defense against disease, you have to get your immune system in shape. You have to recognize that how do you turn that back on, or how do you reverse that? And oftentimes the best way to do that is just through your diet. Just change what you're eating. Quit eating what you've been eating and go to a whole different diet. And one of the best things, if you have been told that you have a disease, is just maybe add mung beans to your diet. Just start eating some mung beans, more mung beans. That kind of turns off those leaks into the immune system that causes the breakdown, and you begin to feel better. The mung bean sprouts is better, but you can also use just the mung bean, and you can use the green tea extract to help reverse that leaking into the immune system that causes the shutdown of the cells that lead to disease. So that's why we have to talk about understanding how you get into a disease state and what you can do to get out of it. And now if you can go and just sprout some mung beans and start eating those every day and reverse the disease, then have the doctor told you that? Did the doctor suggest that to you? Did he refer you to someone that you could go and talk to about it? No, they don't do that because it's not in their best interest. They have to, like I say, recoup all of that money that is sitting around in these machines. They have to recoup that money. And so it's not to their benefit to tell you that you can just spout some mung beans and eat those, and you'll probably reverse most diseases that we get. So, or just changing the diet even. More doctors are doing that, and I commend them for it, but they're not going far enough because they don't know enough about the diet to know exactly what to tell you to eat in terms of getting your body well. So that's a process that we have to another process we have to go into educating ourselves about what we need to do to keep ourselves out of the doctor's office. The less you can go to the doctor, the better off you'll be. That's my position, and there are ways to do that, and it's just a process primarily of learning how to eat again. We have to learn how to eat so that we don't wound up in a disease state so that we can't do anything but go to the doctor and die.
Mm.
But the plant-based diet, as a broader theme, you can use a plant-based diet in most cases to reverse at least a major portion of your disease state. And that's just in the diet. And we'll talk about a few other things you can avoid or eat to correct conditions. But that's kind of a background of where we've been and where we're going and where we want to go. And but primarily we just have to get more information to the people and have them respond to it in a way that they can use it when they go to their doctors and find out exactly what he's recommending and how effective it is. So that's kind of where we are right now in terms of talking about the latest in preventive health techniques and diet and herbs and vitamins we'll be talking about tonight.
All right.
Well, Corey, I have a question. As far as going to a doctor, you know, normally I guess most people go and get that annual checkup, and I would say probably your every 6 months go to the dentist, and you know, so some things you just are going to be exposed to, like say for instance a dentist, they always want to get an X-ray, these type of things like that. What do you recommend as far as you know, do you recommend continuing to get that annual physical, and I guess just keeping your immune system built up, because you know more than likely you're going to have, you know, the X-ray or different things like that. What is your take concerning that?
Well, it's good to identify what your problem is, but chances are you know more about where your condition is than the doctor can ever tell you. And I think the key thing is to if you decide to go, it's a personal decision. If you feel like that you need to go and get checked out, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. Early detection has its place. But you have to understand that, first of all, that if you have something wrong, that you have to go back and look at what you've been doing. What have you been eating? What are some of your bad habits? Whatever. And first deal with that. Until you deal with that, it's not much that anyone can do to reverse any condition if you keep doing the same thing. So you have to, first of all, if you're not feeling well, do the detoxing and, you know, the bowel cleansing we talk about. We talk about detoxing and vitamin C, all of those kind of things are really beneficial in terms of first-line prevention. And then from there, if you feel like you still need to do something different or go to a doctor, just beware that you need to be armed with information so that you can actually get the doctor to address your condition in a way that will avoid as much of that as you can. If you talk to your doctor, maybe he'll understand that you don't like radiation, you don't like X-rays, you don't like chemotherapy. You don't like none of that, and make him come up with an alternative. If he can't do that, then you know he's not going to have your best interest at heart.
Well, if we could talk briefly just about even, EMFs or, you know, because a lot of times, you know, when we focus on the, you know, the bad diet that contributes to our health condition, you know, the eating of meat and too much sugar, too much salt, all, you know, all the white flour, all of the stuff that, you know, clogs up the veins and so forth. But there are people who have been diagnosed as having gotten, you know, there's too much radiation. I mean, just, for example, sitting in front of a computer all day long, you know, or sitting and watching a television all day long, or, you know, walking around with a cell phone to the side of your head, you know, all day long. So these are things that also cause conditions. Can you talk about those for a minute?
Well, those things, if you find yourself getting too deep into television or cell phones or too much electronic interference with the body, which is not good. I think this week or something, they just released another study that moved closer to saying that cell phones damages the brain and lead to Alzheimer's and all kind of other stuff that we want to be aware of, and we have to, get more involved in that so that we understand what's mm-hmm. happening when we're using these devices, what's happening to the body. And what you want to do is learn some of the things you can use to reduce that, the effect of that radiation or whatever, that electromagnetic mm-hmm. forces that's bombarding the body everywhere you go, the lights, the TV, the
right.
radios,
right.
all these things emit electronic frequencies
mm-hmm.
that is not in line with what the body's electronic frequency is, and they can cause disease. And once you understand that that's a problem, what can you do about it? You can... There's something called black plum leaf extract. It's probably the best thing. If you got to go to the doctor and have these radiation treatments and go through all of this stuff, get some black plum leaf extract if you can find it. And you can also start doing like yoga will help
mm-hmm.
reduce that inflammation from chemotherapy and radiation and x-rays.
Mm-hmm.
And kiwi is an excellent fruit that you can use to build up your vitamin C and potassium levels so that you can your cells can fight off this stuff. But oftentimes you have a vitamin D deficiencies, and that you want to make sure you're getting enough with vitamin D. And
mm-hmm. okay.
the kiwi also helps you sleep, and it reduce the problem with reduce heart problems that you might have, and it lowers your pressure.
Okay.
And it
mm-hmm.
helps if you find that you're getting too much sodium, or you've eaten too much sodium, the kiwi will also help negate some of the effects that sodium has on the body, too much sodium or the wrong kind of sodium that you might get. Kiwi is an excellent fruit to keep around just for that. Just keep a couple in the bowl and eat one every day or
mm-hmm.
something, and that would help build you up, particularly when you get an appointment to go start eating those
mm-hmm.
things. And you'll find that the radiation will have less effect on your body. So that's another way to deal with excess radiation in the doctor's office or in their practice,
mm.
Radiation
mm-hmm.
from x-rays and brain scans and all that.
Hmm.
Well, Corey, I have another question. What about when dealing with stress and dealing with those type of issues, you know, you may experience a very traumatic situation, and you know, you're stressed. Your job may be very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Just different things like that. A lot of times, I mean, I know people talk about stress and try to relieve stress by exercising and different things like that. But can you talk about how that affects your immune system and the importance of also recognizing that you need to kind of maintain a peaceful, calm, you know, environment, or try to maintain that as much as possible?
And even with that, I want
yeah.
to add, if I may, just the effect of being constantly in that state. Because
yeah, yeah.
there are times we might know people who every time we see them, they are wired, you know. I
You're
mean,
right.
just wired. I mean, they're just
getting
always
up going
tired.
To work with it, yeah.
You
just
know.
Getting up going to work every day is a stressful situation. That's stress on the body, and
mm-hmm.
particularly if you don't like your job, that increases the stress. And then when
yeah.
you get to the job, you got to do everything that should have been done by someone else. There's even more stress. So things
okay.
that you're not aware of into the situation that causes us to the stress causes the breakdown of the immune system, which is your first line of defense. And then when you add to that the computers that we have and all the electronic equipment that we work around, you're putting your body at risk when you do that. Now, when you have a problem with stress, there are things that you can use to help build your body's defense against stress. And that's, again, you know, eating right, number one. You always have to do that. no dairy, no sugar, no meat. All of those things aggravate exacerbate the stress situation, and it leads to put you on a fast track to disease. So if just by eating more fruits, more vegetables, and grains, nuts, and seeds, you're going to find that your body will be able to handle more stress. But at some point, you still have to make sure that the foods that you're eating are concentrated enough in the vitamins and minerals that you need so that it will actually benefit you. So in terms of stress, I would make sure I have my vitamin C, which is oxidative stress, is one of the biggest results of being exposed to stress every day, and vitamin C is one of the main vitamins that you can use to defend against that excess stress in the body. Then you have mm-hmm. the herbs that we call the nervine herbs, like valerian root, I'm trying to say. Valerian
okay.
and black cohosh would be in there. The other herbs would be, like red raspberry would be a good one for women. And for men, you can use the just to get a combination for the nervous system. There are a number of different combinations that you can get. A combination
okay.
of herbs that's already prepared for you that you can take to help build your body's resistance to stress. And
mm-hmm.
you'll find that you'll be able to keep your immune system strong enough so that you don't break down because of stress. Another thing you have to do is make sure you have space that you can come down and relax and do other things. A lot of people use
mm-hmm.
yoga for that. It's a great way to reduce, build up stress in the body. You know, you get a little pain, a little discomfort there, something. Oftentimes that's just stress. And if you can stretch or move in a way that will help your body move that stress, that would be helpful too. So a combination of the diet, the herbs, and the exercises, you have to be consistent with it so that you don't run into a problem with not doing it, so that you allow these things to take over your life. So you have to find a place where you can let go of all those things, at least for even 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour a day. If you can just
mm-hmm.
de-stress by doing those things, eating right, taking your herbs, doing the exercise, you'll find that stress is probably one of the biggest factors that contribute to disease. So you want to make sure that you do whatever you can to reduce that stress in your life so that you don't fall victim to some disease.
You know, Brother Coy, if you could talk about it, that's excellent information. You mentioned yoga. I would even throw in there meditation. You know what I mean? You say preparing a space where you can actually get, turn on some soft music, even if it's just the sound of the ocean, just something that's going to take you away, that's going to relax you, because
yeah.
that stress yeah. is something else. It's a killer. It can create high blood pressure. Not only that, oftentimes if you got little kids, they suffer, I mean, sometimes people come home and take out their frustration. They're so stressed out, the kids get beat down, because the mama or the dad is stressed on the job, So, meditation,
yeah.
yoga.
Yeah. Learn how to recognize that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to recognize
what about
it happening. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. No, go ahead, brother. When you see it happening, doing something about it?
When you see that happening and you start antagonizing your family or each other, that's when somebody has to step up and say, "Hey, look, let's bring this down a notch and let's go for a walk or something, or let's go do play some tennis or something, or whatever. Take the kids out into the park and just sit and watch the kids play." That kind of
mm-hmm.
thing you have to incorporate in your life. You have to make time to do that, so that not only do you save yourself, you can save your family too.
And, that's, what you said, you got to make time for it. And sometimes that is the most difficult thing to do, when you're so busy. But that's part of the reason, I think, that's why things kind of catch up with you, because you don't take the time
to
do those
right. Just sit down and read the Bible if you have to. Just sit down and read a book, anything to help take your mind from where you are to a better place where you can actually function as a family unit and everyone is cared for and felt love, and keep that in front of you, and you'll have you'll avoid a lot of the downfalls that come by from being too stressed. And I know it's hard to do sometimes, particularly with some jobs, but at some point, you either before you leave out in the morning or when you get home at night, you have to take some time to come down and make sure that you provide your body with the nutrition it needs so that it can rebuild itself for the next day. Because if you let it build up, then sooner or later it's going to take you out.
Brother Coy, could you talk about the, speaking of stress, just the effects of stress by somebody who might be have excess body weight, might be a little overweight or obese even, you know, just the effect of the extra weight, how that can put stress on the body.
Well, your body is built so that it is designed, your frame is designed to carry a certain amount of weight. And once you go over that point, which a lot of us are now, it's usually because of two factors. It's your diet and you're not exercising. And the first thing you want to do if you're overweight is to start eliminating sugar. Sugar is probably the leading cause of weight gain. And it comes in different forms. It's not always sweet. It's not always in a candy bar. Eating too many carbs, the wrong kind of carbs, the refined white flour, refined white rice, refined white milk, anything like that will cause it will drown out that we call it the cytokines we talked about earlier that causes the leaking into the immune system. All of those things will create that situation and make a haven for those kind of bad cells to develop in your system. And unless you look at that in terms of your diet and start eating something different, a plant-based diet, from a plant-based diet, you're going to find yourself really up against the disease, and the disease will eventually win out if you don't make a change. So you have to first realize, eat more raw, eat more fruits, eat more vegetables, eat more grains, nuts, and seeds. That's the first thing you want to do when you're overweight, and you want to do that in a proportion or in a way that it addresses your whatever your problem is. If you're used to eating candy all day, then maybe you should try eating a kiwi or apricots or something different so that your body will get it gives you that it satisfies that sweet taste, but it's not creating more dead cells in the body. So you begin to flush those bad cells out, and you'll see that you will have more energy and your body will be able to defend itself a little better. So yeah. You'll find that you'll start losing weight when you oftentimes when you gain weight, it's because you're not eating enough. And I know that might sound strange, but it's what you're eating is not really giving your body what it needs. So you have to add more grains, nuts, and seeds in those spaces where when you want to go get a candy bar, a bag of chips, eat a piece of fruit, and you'll find that that will not only help flush you, it will also give your body, your immune system a boost so that it can fight off these diseases or these bad cells that come into disease. So, yeah, and you'll find that you'll lose weight when you do that and when you start eating the right thing and doing the exercises that you should be doing. Oftentimes we're just too sedentary. We don't walk. We don't exercise or do anything, most of us, and you find that you don't burn off of those wasted calories that you eat that's causing you to gain weight. You're not burning them, so you have to do something to help your body burn those. If you're going to eat them, burn them off or exercise long enough so that you can burn off that excess sugar and excess fat that you get with when you eat the white refined foods and meat products.
Okay.
Because they slow down your digestive system. And when your digestive system slows down, your body's going to hold on to more of the food that what they call food is really junk, that that you eat, your body's going to hold on to it because you're not giving it anything that will stimulate peristalsis in the bowel, and you start swelling up. That's the first sign of inflammation. And that's when you want to get back to your vitamin C's, get back to your colon cleansing, and changing your diet so that you don't build up that in your body in a harmful way that will hurt you. So if you're going to eat those things, you have to compensate for them and make sure that you eat and do the exercises necessary to burn off any of that bad excess food that you eat so that you don't going to come into this inflammation, yes.
Brother Coy, I know there's somebody out there saying, how do I get in contact with this brother? I need to see him. I need to call him. I need to talk to him. Brother, can you give your information for those in the D.C. area, if you're up in Maryland, D.C., or you know Northern Virginia, or even if you got to make a special trip to Coy's shop, how can they get in contact with you, and what are your hours of operation?
I'm from 8 to 6, usually about 6 days a week when I can, but when I feel myself getting overstressed, I take a day off and just rest or do something different. But I'm at 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest, 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest. And the telephone is 202-562-0041, and that's in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
202-562-0041, yeah. And if I'm not there or they don't pick up for some reason, just leave a message and I can get back to you as soon as I can get a break to call you. I'll call you back.
Coy, I know that today's show is about preventive medicine, the latest in preventive medicine and health and healing. But I also feel like, you know, all the information that you're bringing forth today, that to me is a part of being preventive, you know. I do have another question because, you know, as far as aging is concerned, because a lot of times when you're young, of course, you've got all this energy and your immune system is probably strong. But as you get older, what are some of the things that you have to be aware of as well once you, as you're aging and you want to age gracefully?
Well, you're going to first notice that you're going to start getting a little gray. You're going to start having a few more pains and you're going to start being able to have the energy that you had last week. And you're going to notice those things. So as you age, you gotta be more consistent in terms of your diet and not doing the things like smoking and drinking and all of those things that we do. We have to cut it back or cut it out at least and start adding vitamin D. Is probably you, if you're getting older, you probably have a deficiency in vitamin D, so you want to make sure you get your D. And vitamin D is good for keeping your immune system up also, and it is also good to keep the pains away, some of the arthritic pains and some of the other things you get as you age. It also helps strengthen the bones. You want to make sure you're getting your calcium, the right kind of calcium that your body can use, and you want to make sure that you are not harboring all of this toxins in your body so that your body will have a chance to absorb the vitamins and minerals from your food and whatever you decide to use in terms of juicing or vitamins or I should say fruits and vegetables. You want to make sure your body has the energy to use it so that it will provide the skin what it needs. It will give you slow the aging process as much as you can through your diet. And then add your supplements to make sure that you are giving your body the minerals and the vitamins that you need to keep it from breaking down as fast. Now, you sooner or later you're gonna die, but you know you got to. You can color your hair and hide that. You can do a lot of things that you can do to make it look better, but deep down inside, you know when you're not where you should be. And that's where you want to work on those areas that you probably know why you're not feeling the way you should feel or why you're having these pains. And you would just want to work on your body and make sure you get the supplements that you need to feed those areas so that they don't speed up the aging process to a place to where you can't reverse it. But oftentimes it's in the genes also. If your genes are good, youthfulness will last, will seem to last a little longer. You may have the pains and a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But in the end, if your genes are good, you will still look good, even in your aging years. You can still, not develop the flab and not have the gut hanging and all of that. All of that would help in terms of keeping your youthfulness about you.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, again, it starts with the diet and adding the supplements you need to make sure that you're getting your bones strong and you're getting your hair, the stuff you need for your hair, you're getting the stuff you need for your skin, and you're getting the
mm-hmm.
stuff to make your body work properly so that you can reduce the effects of aging as much as you can by just
mm-hmm.
eating more, eating better primarily, and taking the supplements.
Would you say that juicing is one of the best ways to get your, get your vegetables and your fruits?
Well, that's changing. I would have said that a few years ago. But if you have never juiced, yes, you're going to get a more concentrated amount of your vegetable and your vitamins and minerals from juicing than you will by eating the vegetables or fruit itself. It's going to be more concentrated, and you're going to get more of what you need if you juice. But now it seems to be moving toward these dried fruits, these supplements with these condensed vegetables and fruit in it that's been standardized to a place to where you will be more likely to get what you need by not having to sit down and eat a bowl of vegetables every 3 hours to make sure you get what you need. So if you get the concentrated
mm-hmm.
powder sometimes, you can add that to your juice, and that will increase the benefit you get from eating raw or juicing or whatever you do. So, yeah, you want to kind of mix it up a little bit, to get a good powdered vitamin supplement that you can just add to your juices or add to a smoothie or something. And that's another way that you can get the amount of vitamins and minerals that you need without having to sit down and eat a bowl or a barrel of fruits or vegetables.
Well, brother, if you could you talk about coffee? Because, that's a large part of people's morning routine. Some people, they're like a bear until they get that first cup or second cup of coffee in them, and then it's like, okay, then you see them transform back into, the peaceful person. So could you talk about coffee and just the effects of the caffeine? Is there any reason why? Is coffee harmful, I guess, is the question.
I would say so. I think very few people sit down and they just drink a black cup of coffee with nothing in it. That's, if you're going to drink it, that's the way you should drink it. But the coffee situation, when I see people get a cup of coffee, they got the milk, they got the sugar, they got whatever they can put in there to make it sweet. And when they drink it, it's mostly just the sugar and water that they're drinking instead of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to watch the coffee and the sugar, particularly when you add, most people like sugar in their coffee, or coffee in their sugar, I should say. They fill it up with sugar, and when you drink it, it's gonna do all the opposite of what you think it's gonna do. It may take you up for about 10 minutes, but when you drop, you're gonna want another cup of coffee. So you're in this chain of trying to drink coffee to have energy, and you're really defeating the purpose of drinking the coffee. So you want to be careful with that. And the caffeine, we know, if you get too much caffeine in your system, it's going to affect your nervous system and your a couple other systems. It's going to fight or flight the system that we call it. And that caffeine, what it does, it weakens or aggravates that nervous system to a point to where you may actually engage in aberrant behavior, or actually even worse than that, lead to some kind of disease. So if you can, I would say maybe switch to green tea. Instead of coffee in the morning, just get you a good cup of green tea, real green tea, and maybe a couple other teas you can drink that would help you break that coffee addiction, and work with trying to reduce the amount of coffee that you can as much as you can. In fact, cut it out if you can. I'm not an advocate of coffee. I don't drink a lot of it. I may drink a cup once or twice a year if I feel like it. But I'm not a coffee drinker. And
Well, Quinn, I also had a question learning about some of these about the it's called raw meal. I mean, I think it's called raw meal. It's a powder supplement. Are you familiar with these organic raw meal?
Flax meal and that kind of stuff I've heard of. I'm not familiar with the raw meal. I have to see what's in it. What, you know what's in it?
Okay. It says it's protein sprouts, and it's organic. And you can, you know.
Protein sprouts from what?
I'm not really sure.
So I know you mentioned that to me, but is that like a supplement to put in something else so that you can get the...
You can add it to maybe rice milk or something like that. You know, you can use it as a meal replacement.
That's the idea. You want to, of going to the dehydrated or dried powders that you can add to your drinks. But you have to be careful there, because oftentimes they put more stuff or stuff that's not good for the body in these things so that it tastes better, so you drink more of it, so they can sell more of it. So you have to make sure that you get you want to stay away from too much sugar in them. You want to stay away from too much sodium, and you want to kind of be certain of the protein source. If the protein is from, say, peas or some grain, nut, or seed, you'll probably get some better benefit from it. And it's, you should probably, if it's a meal, it probably have some flax seed in it or something like that, that you can get your essential fats. And that's what you want to look for in your powders. You want to make sure you get your vitamins, your minerals, your protein, your even your vitamin D and C, and all of that should be in your powder mix, to make certain that you wanna that you're getting the supplementation that you need. But you want to stay away from the milks and the sugars and too much of that. That's not good in any powder. So that would be my first read of it. If I see too much sugar, if I see too much
milk in it, a raw vegan dairy, organic.
Okay.
I would look for that first, and then look at where the sources of these vitamins and minerals that they're putting in it are coming from. As long as it's plant-based, you're probably pretty safe with it.
Okay.
And Brother Coy, what is whey? I think it's spelled W-H-E-Y. You know, some products I see have whey on it, and I was listening to a brother one time. He was mentioning that whey is not good for you. But it was just for me hearing that. It was just a word. I didn't really know what it is. Are you familiar with whey?
Whey is a byproduct of cow milk, and it's just powdered cow milk, basically.
Okay.
In that form, it is some nutritional value, but it's not enough for you to depend on it as a source of anything like protein or anything like that. I would try to find an alternative to whey if at all possible, and not get caught up in too much just straight whey, because it is a milk product, and we don't know where the milk comes from oftentimes, and milk is sometimes can be contaminated. So you want to watch whey proteins, things like that. And I know it's very popular, but and I guess they've done whatever they can to make sure that it's safe, but again, it is from a cow, and you want to be careful with anything from an animal.
Well, Brother Quinn, since we're talking about preventative, I know one of the things that you're very high on is water, and just, you know, drinking more water, and just as a result of drinking more water, how you can prevent so many things. Is that correct?
Well, probably another large reason why we get sick is we don't drink water. If a person drink 16 to 32 ounces a day, that's probably more normal than not. But you really need to be conscious that you want to drink at least half your body weight in ounces of water each day. And if you're finding yourself getting sluggish or feeling like out of sort, check your water intake. And you want to be careful of the water that you drink. You don't really want to drink a lot of tap water because of the chlorine and the radiation in it, the aluminum and all of that. And you want to maybe even think about getting a filter, at least a filter, but if you can, get one of these machines that can actually bring the pH balance back into the water. You want more alkaline than acid. So if you can get a pH water, sometimes you can go to the store and you see alkaline water, and it's maybe 8.5 pH. If you're going to drink water, try to drink more of that as opposed to drinking tap water. But even if you can't get that or can't afford that, at least try to get this. If you're going to drink tap water, run it into a jar, open mouth jar, and just let it sit for 24 hours or something. A lot of the harmful chemicals in it will dissipate, and it will be better than drinking it straight out of the faucet. But you do need to be mindful that you do need to drink at least half your body weight in ounces of water every day. If not, you're heading for dehydration, and that's another road to disease.
You know, Brother Quay, I think that for so many people, that just the issue when it comes to having to think about your health now, to think about actually consciously be aware of and think about what you put in your body, you know, just goes against what, you know, for so many years we didn't have to do. I mean, you think somebody, from the time somebody is born up through the time they're maybe in their 40s, you know, they never even had to think about what they ate. You know, they just ate what tasted good, you know. And sadly, they may have gotten a salad if they were lucky with a meal occasionally. Some people would go weeks without eating any greens, you know what I mean? As long as there was some meat on the plate, you know what I mean? They were fine. Just give me some meat, some beans, you know. But if they got a salad, I mean, we just weren't, especially in the black community, we didn't grow up, many of us, eating salads and that sort of thing. And we didn't even have to think about what went into our mouth until we became, you know, we went to the doctor and, you know, the doctor said, you got this or you got that. And, you know, I am so thankful that even this information just concerning becoming a vegetarian and a vegan just so happened, you know, I was over at WOL and they were asked me to do a show on relationships, and then, you know, something happened with the brother who was doing the holistic health show, and so they asked me to do that, and that's how I became into holistic health, interviewing holistic healers every week. It was just like hearing this information so constantly, week after week after week after week. You know, I didn't know anything about holistic health. People were like, well, do you know, are you familiar with Coy Dunstan? You need to talk to Coy Dunstan. Okay, what's his number? You know, let me call Coy Dunstan. You know, are you familiar with Dr. Sabi? What's his number? Let me call Dr. Sabi. And so hearing these healers, such as yourself and others, Dick Gregory and, you know, Kwaku Ando and others, you know, or Dr. Africa on a regular basis, you know, it was like, okay, I'm hearing this information, and it just reinforced that constant reinforcement week after week after week. Hearing this, it made sense, you know. And so now, you know, the people that we're trying to reach today need to hear this information on a regular basis because, you know, again, they didn't grow up hearing it, many of them, you know. And so now, again, when I interview people like yourself, it's like I realize and acknowledge your value to this planet, because so many people are dying you know, just like the Bible says, God says, in it, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You know, so for Brother Coy, people like yourself, I mean, just the work that you've been doing so successfully for, you know, over 30 years, Brother, I salute you and commend you for even the patience that you've had to have with us. You know, because I know that you've had to be patient because you're teaching people how to eat a new way, you know, how to think in a new way, you know, and I'm sure that it's required patience on your part because, you know, we're not always an easy people to lead down the right path. So
yeah,
I thank
like
you
change.
So much. Huh?
We don't like change. We don't like to change.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, but up until the 50s and 60s, we hardly even heard of diabetes or any of the things that we have today. But that's when the soil started to become depleted, the water started to become contaminated, and we're into like 50 years of that now almost. And
wow.
We're finding that we're getting more diseases that we've never heard of, we've never encountered. But prior to the 50s and 60s, we primarily ate off the land. That's where our food came from, off the land. Now it's packaged and sit on the shelf, and it shines, and it looks good, and they got all kinds of stuff in it to kill you, but it looks good, so we eat it. And we don't grow as much as we don't grow food anymore. So we have to maybe start a movement of people. Now is the time of the year to plant your gardens and get back into the ground, and connecting to the ground has its benefits too because it anchors you. We are the ground between the sky and the earth, and if we don't get our feet in the dirt, we are shortening out ourselves. We're really killing our electricity charge, and we have to get back into the dirt and learn how to grow our own food so that we can at least slow the process down. But the soil is so depleted and so contaminated now, I don't know if we can even reverse that. But we have to at least try. So, yeah.
Brother Coy, I don't know if they still have this going on up there, but I haven't seen it down here in Richmond yet. But I remember when I was up there, certain parts of the city, you might hear a brother walking around hollering, meat man, fresh meat, you know, and some meat he done stole off of some truck somewhere, you know what I mean? And so you don't even know, half the time people don't know, trying to save a buck, you don't know how old this meat is, you don't know where he got it from or whatever. I mean, just the trust that we have in people, in the FDA, you know, and it takes more than just praying over your food because that very plate that you pray over, that you gave thanks for, you know, that roast beef or that meatloaf that you're giving thanks for could be killing you, you know. And, you know, so people like yourself, brother, are so very, very important, man. I can't thank you enough for the work that you do, and I really appreciate you being my guest. Any closing words tonight?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to share with you, and I say the most important thing we can do is study. There's a lot of herbs and a lot of new products on the market that will keep you out of the doctor's office if you use it, or at least keep you out of chemotherapy and radiation. I think we need to turn our back on that period and just begin to do what we know we need to do, change to what we're eating, learn how we need to eat, study what you need to, what's out there that's available for your condition, and begin to use those things. And I think if we do that, we'll all be a little better off in the long run and have a little bit more to pass on to our children.
Well, Brother Coy, if you could give your information one more time for people, because, again, I know that there are people out there that have gone to the doctor and, you know, maybe the doctor said something that you didn't want to hear, or you know somebody, everybody knows somebody that's not well, or, you know, might be sick, might have high blood pressure or cancer or diabetes or arthritis or something, and they might not know where to turn or, you know, where to begin the process. You know, they don't trust the doctors, and they're listening to a show like this, and they're like, wow, I need more information. I want more information. You know, mama got to hear this, or daddy got to hear this, or, you know, I got to turn so-and-so on to this. They need to talk to you. Brother Coy, can you give your information again so people can call if they got questions? You know, you can call Coy. Coy will get back to you. Brother Coy, how can they reach you?
I'm in Washington, D.C., at 3923 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest. and that's in Washington, D.C., 20032. And you can call me at 202-562-0041. And again, I'll make myself available to do whatever I can to assist you with whatever you're confronted with, and we'll work through it together.
All right, Brother Coy, thank you so much. Again, for everybody, that's Coy Dunstan. He's my doctor. If I get sick, that's the first person I'm going to. Okay?
Yes, sir. Yes,
and if Coy don't heal me, I won't get healed. Okay? Brother Coy, thank you so much. Again, I look forward to you, brother. Everybody, Coy comes on once a month. We do a monthly show with Brother Coy, and you know, we're going to try to work this thing so we can get him back on more regular so that you can hear this information, because it's only because I heard it every week that, you know, I was able to, you know, just reinforce within myself the need to let go of meat and dairy. You can do it. You know, you can do it. You can do it. It's just having the people around you, working with you.
And letting people know what they can do. I appreciate what you do. Yeah, it's important, and it's a great work that you do. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Coy. Peace and blessings, my brother.
I thank you. And
we'll be in touch.
I'll talk to you next time.
All right.
All right. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Everybody, that was Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature. This brother's got a testimony that you wouldn't believe. We didn't talk about it this particular show, and part of it is because, you know, I hate to keep going back to that. The brother cured his mother of cancer. Okay, and he's got a testimony that you wouldn't believe. The doctors, he had just graduated from law school and got a call from his brothers basically saying, you need to come down to North Carolina, mama's sick. He went down there. She had cancer of the colon, cancer in both breasts. Okay, and long story short, the doctors had given her 6 weeks to live. They had tried everything, and they told her to either take chemo or get out of the hospital. Okay. Well, Coy said, well, I don't want to see you burned up, fried up, and cut up, so let's go home and prepare to meet our maker. Well, in between then, Coy said, well, let me do some research. He found out about a company and learned about the body, learned about herbs, learned about giving the body what it needs to heal and or prevent medical dis-ease. And long story short, his mother listened to what he had to say, followed his recommendations. They started going back to the doctor. The doctors were amazed that she was still alive, number one, okay, and that she was doing so well, number two. They ran every test ultimately. After about 6 months of her being on this regimen, she stopped eating meat, stopped eating dairy, okay, started doing enemas, started taking herbs, cleansed the body. This woman eventually died of old age, okay. And after the doctors ran every test on her, after having given her 6 weeks to live, they couldn't find one trace of cancer. This woman was back in the pulpit preaching, giving God the glory. That can be somebody out there that's hearing this today. That can be your testimony, okay, or somebody you know's testimony. Everybody that's listening to this show knows somebody that's got something, okay? Now, everybody's not going to get this information. Everybody's not going to hear this information. There are doctors out there that will tell you, oh, that herbal stuff, that stuff don't work, that stuff don't work. I'm a witness. I was hit by a car. Doctor told me if I didn't let him operate, that I would never walk right again. I said, well, doctor, he said, look, I'm leaving the practice in a couple of weeks. You need to schedule this appointment with me before I leave. I said, doctor, I wish you the best in your future endeavors, but you're not cutting me, okay? Long story short, I went to Coy, found out what herbs he recommended, found out what he suggested. I followed his suggestions, and not only was I able to walk again, I could run again, and kick again, all of these things. So I just want to say that I'm not speaking about it from somebody that doesn't know. I'm a witness. Coy's a witness. You can be a witness, too. It's going to take faith, okay? It's going to take doing something that you've never done before. It's going to take sacrificing. It's going to take letting go of the things that you know aren't good for you so that you can replace those things with things that are good for you. God wants you well, okay? Now, what are you going to do? Chorus number is 202-562-0041. That's 202-562-0041. My name is Jawanza with a J. Sounds like Kwanzaa with a K. And I just like to say thanks for tuning in today. My wife, Aquia Sefton-Ted.
Thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to the next show that we'll be bringing you some more exciting shows. We have who's coming up next? We got
Professor Geiger
is coming on next Tuesday. We actually have
Sunu Pura.
Yeah, Geiger is coming up on next Tuesday, and then we have Sunu Pura, who will be talking about Bazi astrology.
Absolutely.
And then we also have Orwa.
Henry Meturan comments.
And he's continuing his series talking about the 11 laws of God.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be talking about the law of Ma'at. That's going to be coming up. So I want you to stay tuned for those shows, okay? Thank you so much for tuning in. We love you. And we're talking about all these shows that we do. We're talking about going higher.
Absolutely.
We're talking about going higher. You want to reach for the top?
Yep.
Let's go. We love you. Peace and blessings.
Peace.
Take me up higher, reach for the top, higher and higher.